just about a mile off of 109. There's a little church sitting back in the pines. I promised that girl she was gonna be mine. I wouldn't be surprised if she was standing there crying.
Jason, Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. Little Shenandoah. This is a good one for sure.
Great.
Continuing our discussion with John McClain, HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, when Bud Adams was alive and after he had moved the team here, you know, and the Texans came into the league, it was always a big deal to go to Houston and win those games. He made sure everybody knew that it was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get the sense that it's the same with Amy? Because that was brought up that, you know, like it's obviously a special one. Or, you know, she's just happy to see her team go and get a division win.
Oh, no. I mean, think about it. She grew up with Oilers. She went to all games. She was a fan of the Oilers, and now she's just like her dad. She just doesn't express it as much. You know, Bud wouldn't hide it, but I think Amy's been very quiet. I think the players understand what it meant to her by giving her the game ball, and I'll guarantee you she cherishes that game ball more than any that wasn't a playoff victory or a victory that secured the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Daniel Jones to the Vikings. What do you make of that move?
It's interesting. Sam Darnold will be somewhere else next year. J.J. McCarthy is going to be their starting quarterback. So Darnold, if he keeps it up, is going to make a lot of money. So Daniel Jones, you know, does he want to compete with McCarthy? No. I think he's just doing it because they gave him the best deal, a team that has a chance to make the playoffs. He could have gone somewhere like the Raiders and been the starter because they're so bad, but everybody said he wanted to go for a playoff team. I think that's a really good move for the Vikings to get a backup who's been a starter for years.
John, right now, looking at everything, I mean to put you on the spot, who is the coach of the year in the National Football League, not named Dan Campbell?
Well, first of all, we 3 weeks ago, Dan Quinn was running away with it.
Right.
And if you think about it, I tell you, he's done a great coaching job, is Sean Payton. To have the albatross of the Russell Wilson contract, which they took the cap hit of, I think, $85 million, and he drafted Bo Nix because he thought Bo Nix was ideal for his system. And Bo Nix, barring an injury, is going to beat out Jaden Daniels for NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, and they got a chance to win a wild card berth. And I think that I don't even know if Peyton has ever been a coach of the year. People were talking about possibly Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh's beaten up on a bunch of bad teams. If you look at Pittsburgh, their record, they've won with a bunch of bad teams. I always look at the records, like Philadelphia, Nick Sirianni, he's doing a great job in this winning streak. But if you look at who they're playing, I want to see teams that beat good teams. You know, Sean McDermott's doing a great job at Buffalo. There were people that had the Jets or Miami winning that division. So, but if I had to pick somebody right now, let me think if there's in North, you know, Kevin O'Connell's done a great job, but I think they were right on the verge last year of a wild card berth. So I would have to say Sean Payton.
He won it in 2007.
Well, this would be winning it twice with two teams. But, you know, it doesn't take much. Bo Nix has been playing great. Not great for a rookie.
Right.
But great. And if he can keep it up, you know, their defense is really good. They're the only team that has more sacks than the Texans. And as long as they keep playing great defense and the quarterback doesn't turn it over, they got a chance. So right now, I'm penciling them in for a wild card berth.
John, I love what Derrick Henry is doing in Baltimore, but my goodness, I love what Saquon Barkley is doing in Philadelphia. Watching him run Sunday night was great. Is he going to make the running back position great again? Because I'm having fun watching them run the football.
They are fun. He's also an excellent receiver, leads the league at all-purpose yards. And because he's playing in Philadelphia, a huge media market, and because the New York, New Jersey media market loves to rub it in on the Giants, he's getting more publicity than Derrick Henry has gotten all season. And that highlight film in which he jumps over the guy backward, you know, we're going to see that thing like we saw Jadeveon Clowney knock that kid's helmet off his last year in South Carolina. And it'll probably be the play of the year in the ESPYs. But Philadelphia, is it capable of winning the division? Of course it is. Washington's lost three in a row. Titans could, if the Titans play in Washington, they're playing in Washington, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The way they played here, they can win that game, especially Will Levis and the defense getting after Jaden Daniels. So I don't see them as a threat, but Philadelphia's got great balance. When you can run the ball like Baltimore and Philadelphia and Detroit, although Detroit shouldn't have to play outdoors, when you're in the playoffs playing outdoors, you cannot, in January, you cannot beat a strong running game to take the pressure off the passing game in bad weather.
John, great stuff as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we will talk to you next week.
Jason, big Joe, same to you guys and all of your listeners. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. John McClain joining us here on the program as he does every Wednesday at 9:30. Always enjoy talking NFL with him. Coming up next, our weekly conversation with MTSU football coach Derek Mason. They wrap up their season at FIU. We'll talk to Coach Mason next. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Some kind of tree. '90s country, keeping it going today on this Wednesday. Chasing Big Joe with you, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We always enjoy our conversations with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, I got to tell you, your tweets on Sunday were pretty entertaining.
Well, thank you. I have a good time tweeting about the Texans when they're bad. That was the worst loss of D'Amico Ryans' two seasons, and he and his staff, especially Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator and play caller, and C.J. Stroud are just getting roasted on Thanksgiving week for losing a game to the 2-8 Titans, who, you know, 32 points when they'd only scored 20 once in the last six games and only twice for the season. And I've been telling everybody what I tweeted and wrote, that they made Will Levis look like Warren Moon. And those long passes, average 11 per completion, were amazing. I tell you guys a very interesting stat, a couple of them. You know, and I'll put it from the Titans' perspective. Only five times in 40 years as a team allowed eight sacks, turned it over three times and won. And the Texans have 42 sacks, they're second in the league. They lead the league in pressures and tackles for loss. As you guys saw, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. are beasts coming off the edge, but they lead the league with 24 touchdown passes. I can't figure that one out. I've asked coaches, I've asked players. All I can think about are the safeties. Now, they have a rookie, Kalen Bullock, who's played well, but their other safeties are slow. And when Jalen Petrie went out, Jimmy Ward went down to the slot, and the Titans probably got two touchdown passes against Eric Murray, who's a special teams player. But it was a great performance by the Titans. And I'm sure everybody's like, well, why can't you do that more often? And that's a mystery. But I tell you what, as you guys know, watching Levis over the last 3 weeks, I think this is the first time he's been great. And his teammates had a lot to do with that, of course, catching the ball, Tony Pollard running the ball. And the defensive line was great as always, just totally stuffed the running game because they did a great job of defending the cutback lanes. Instead of going to Joe Mixon when he got the ball, they just filled in the cutback lanes. and he had nowhere to go. And then Simmons always dominates the Texans. Sweat dominated the Texans. And one of the many reasons we're killing Bobby Slowick, who was the fair-haired boy last season, is because he faced a 3rd-and-1, and the last thing you want to do is go up the middle, and that's exactly what he called a handoff up the middle to Joe Mixon, got stuffed where everybody in the stadium knew that's the last place you should go. So congratulations to the Titans. Now, if somehow they're able to upset the Commanders, who've lost 3 in a row, even though it's late in the season, and if Levis plays again, you guys might have you. If he keeps it up, you might have your quarterback.
Woo! So I'm curious of this because, by the way, to add to your stats, I don't know if you saw Mike Sando's stat that he put out there. After Will Levis did it in Houston, starting quarterbacks are 3-33 since 1960 when taking 8 sacks and having an interception return for a touchdown.
3-33, 1960, that's hilarious. 8 sacks and a return. Well, it's just another piece of positive history for the Titans. And you got to figure at some point, Levis will learn to get rid of the ball quicker. And because he can't keep taking that beating like he took. And that's something he's got to learn. You know, he threw the pick six. Yeah, pick six has happened. You know, when's the last time he had a bad play? That wasn't a stupid play. That was just a bad play. And baited by Jimmy Ward, a savvy veteran. But I thought Levis looked so good. He didn't have to run a lot. He ran 8 times, I think, and they shut him down. But I can't imagine Titans people not be excited about that game.
Absolutely. Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe show. John, what did you see? Because, you know, we see the Titans every week, and you get to watch them on TV and bits and pieces like that. But what did you see from them on Sunday that really impressed you more than anything else about this Tennessee Titans football team?
The way they shut down what had been a good running game. Joe Mixon coming off his 6th 100-yard game, which had tied Saquon Barkley for the most in the league, won over Derrick Henry. And they limited him to 1.6 yards a carry. And he had 3 touchdowns in the previous game, and it was great defensive strategy, and the players carried it out great. And when you're running against an outside zone team, your inclination is to take off in the direction that all the blockers are going and try to get to the back who plants his foot, cuts, and looks for the open hole, but there was none because they didn't go after him until he got to the line of scrimmage. So I thought it was great coaching and great playing by the front 7 of the Titans.
What did the Titans expose on the Texans that you thought, uh-oh, here we go? What was one thing of the Texans that they were doing really good? I know you talk about running the ball, but what kind of a flaw of this football team that the Titans exposed?
The only other time their running game was shut down was against Detroit here. And same thing. They played the same style of strategy. Now, I don't know why the Cowboys didn't do it the week before, but Detroit filled those lanes. It requires a lot of discipline besides being good and good coaching. So that's 2 teams that have done it. Texans go to the Jaguars. I just wrote a column for HoustonTexans.com about the Texans are on the verge of becoming the Jaguars from 2022 when they won the division in last year. They were heavily favored to win the division, and they started 8-3, and they've been like 3-14 ever since. Doug Peterson's on the verge of getting fired. So if Jacksonville plays that strategy, but you still got to have the players to make the tackles, and that's what they did so well. I can't believe every team from here on out is not going to play that same strategy. And the Texans, after they play Jacksonville, have their bye week. But then they play Miami here. Tua Tagovailoa is playing great. Then they go to Kansas City. Then they play Baltimore here. And that's on Christmas Day. And then they close at the Titans, who just humiliated them. So if I'm Indianapolis and I'm really 3 games back, sweep and then getting swept and then 2 games behind them, I'm not giving up. because the Texans, if they lose to the Jaguars, I think they'll lose the rest of their games.
Ooh, that's interesting. We will have more with John McClain coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.